Official family, of course, as you know, every year we take up an offering and send a Christmas bonus, I guess you could say, to the missionaries that we support, and they received that and have sent the following. Dear church family at Crossroads Baptist, thank you so much for the special Christmas gift that you sent to our family and the ministry in Burkina Faso. We were very touched by your kindness and appreciate everything that you do for us. We are praying for you all. God bless the Rishals. And so that's a blessing to hear back from that. And we were able to send, I want to say it was $130-something we sent to each of our 11 missionary families. And so praise God, that's a good thing. All right, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be looking at a peace this evening to some degree, I guess you could say. And we're going to be trying to seek to answer a question. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 in our Bibles, and we will pray and we will dive in. All right. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Help us now as we seek to learn from it. Lord, help us to apply it to our hearts and our lives. Lord, help me to preach it in a way that glorifies you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, I want to kind of answer the question of where is peace? Now, I'm not talking about world peace. That's not going to happen. When Jesus comes back, the only way there will be world peace is when he rules with a rod of iron. And that wouldn't be peace to those who are being ruled by it. But world peace is never going to happen. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars till the Lord comes back. And so that, you know, you can strive for that all you want. It's not a bad thing to desire peace, of course. Our country has fought world wars to gain it, or at least some semblance of it, and that's a blessing. But today, you know, we look around and it's very easy to see everything but peace, whether it be nations in conflict with themselves or with others, whether it be people and brethren in conflict with each other, whether it be families fighting, whatever it may be, it's very easy to look around and see a lack of peace of any kind in the world, and sadly also in the churches. A lot of churches don't have, or at least a lot of Christians don't exhibit or exude the peace of God in their lives. They're always concerned, always stressed, always worried, always, you know, sorrowing and suffering through things. And there's a time for everything. We understand that. We'll see that later on. But the peace of God, you know, the question comes, I've been told, you know, in the Bible, that the peace of God pass all understanding. Why don't I have that? You know, if I'm a Christian, why don't I have peace? And so we're going to seek to answer that this evening. We understand the simple answer to getting peace back in our lives is, of course, to pray and read our Bible. That's the answer to pretty much everything in our lives, is to pray and seek, search the Scriptures. But when you are overwhelmed by this world, when you are, you know, when your schedule is packed and when your responsibilities are overwhelming, when your sorrows are just piling up and the disappointments and the abuse that this world dishes out is just getting to you, it can be hard to even take the time to pray. It can be hard to take the time to open our Bibles. We know it's what we must do, but our flesh fights against it. Our flesh doesn't want to have the peace of God. Our flesh is sinful, and sometimes, even though we know it's what we need, it's very hard for us to get to the point where we'll actually open the book and get the help that we desire, or the help that we need. So look with me at a familiar verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, I want to point out here also, the Bible doesn't say that you'll experience it. It says that it'll keep your hearts and minds. That implies that there's a length of time attached to this thing that isn't just an instant. Well, I had peace with God one time, you know, a few years ago. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a peace that is lasting, and a peace that is from God, and a peace that is just indescribable. And many of you, if you're saved here tonight, you have probably at least at some point in your life experienced that peace that comes from God, that gets you through the day or gets you through a circumstance or a trial that you really just can't explain to somebody else. It doesn't make logical sense, but it's just this peace that comes over us from the Lord. And so we see this, and some people, you know, they get saved and they don't get discipled, or maybe they just never really studied their Bible. We talked about several times context here. And they don't understand. They see this verse and they say, oh, the peace of God's going to keep my heart. And then they look at their life and how stressed they are and how worried they are and how everything affects them so much. And they say, wait a second. The Bible says this, and I'm told the Bible's true and God's not a liar. And yet I don't see it. I don't see it in my life. And so this is where we need to remind ourselves that we ought not put words into God's mouth, I guess you could say. We ought not put more on God than what he promised. Because if we notice in this passage, we have this promise in verse 7, but it's not a verse that you can just pluck out by itself. It starts with the word "and." And so I want to show you something. I'll give you a couple of references from the Old Testament to give you an example. This is what we would call a conditional promise from God. Now, there are many promises in the Word of God that are not conditional at all. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That doesn't hinge on anything you do outside of faith. That's an unconditional promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's an unconditional promise. If you're a believer, he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He didn't say, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee if you do this, this, and the other. He just said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So it's an unconditional promise. If you ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. An unconditional promise. And yet, there are a lot of promises in the Word of God that only apply, or we can only claim, if we do our part of the promise. In Deuteronomy 7:15, God says to the nation of Israel, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt without which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. This is a promise, first of all, to Israel. So don't be sending money to a faith healer. This isn't for us. This is for Israel. The disease and the health and all that stuff, this is a promise to Israel. And it's a conditional promise. If you noticed, when I read the verse, it started again with the word "and." If you were to back up in Deuteronomy 7:15, verse 12 says, "Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them." And it goes on to lay out all the promises that God will do. He says, if you will do this, I will do this. And we see that all throughout the scripture. And it's not just, that's not just the way that God would deal with Israel. He deals with the church that way as well in many cases, one of which being where we are, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, and the peace of God. Just like with the word therefore, where we say, if you find the word therefore, you got to stop and see what it's there for. When the sentence starts with and, you fail the English test in today's day. I had a lot of times when I would start sentences with and my English teacher would get after me, and I'd say, look, the Bible does it. If God does it, I can do it. Well, she didn't agree. But you back up to verse 6, of course, be careful for nothing. And of course, again, careful, full of care, not just, you know, run across the street without looking. Careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here we have in verse 6 is the key to unlock the promise of verse 7. If we won't do verse 6, we can't expect God to do verse 7. That's not how God said it works. God says, if you will do this, then this will happen. And we can trust it, we can believe it. And so, well, if we don't have the peace of God ruling in our hearts, then we have to look, okay, there must be a problem somewhere, and it's not with God because he keeps his promises. It must be with me. I must not be doing my part, and a lot of that part is found in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That doesn't just say pray to God about stuff. It says be careful for nothing. That means you don't let yourself get full of care about things because you're giving it to the Lord. You're not just telling him about it and then still worrying about it. I think that's the mistake we make a lot of times is, you know, well, I gave it to the Lord. Not really, though, because you're still, you know, you're still concerned and fretting about it all the time. If you've given it to the Lord, then it's his to be concerned with. Now, of course, we have to have some concern in our lives with things. We need to go to work. We need to make money, provide for our family. We need to pay attention to the world around us and have proper discernment. But when that concern, when that attentiveness to things turns into worry and frustration and stress and all these things, that means we have not given it to the Lord the way that we should. And so we see in verse 6 what we should do. We'll also look over to verse number 8. So verse 6 unlocks verse 7, and then verse 8 kind of continues the theme, because in verse 7 we end with, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What do you do with your mind? Anybody? Not a trick question. What do we do with our minds? We think. Yes. At least we're supposed to. Sometimes we see people in this world and we think they don't have a mind, because they're apparently not thinking, or they ain't thinking right. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So we have in verse 6 the key to verse 7, and then in verse 8 we have a little helpful hint of, if you want that peace of God to stay in your heart, then pay attention to what you're thinking about. Keep your mind fixed on the Lord. Now, obviously, we have to get through the day. We have to think about, is the light red or is it green? You know, yellow means green, so we understand that. But, you know, we have to think about things, obviously, other than Christ, or else we'll never get through the day. But the Lord tells us here, I mean, you go through this list, pure, lovely, of good report, be any virtue, be any praise, think on these things. You turn on the news, none of that matches the news. You're not turning on the news and walking away encouraged and praising God. Usually turning on the news and yelling at it, or getting stressed or frustrated, or just getting depressed about the state of the world. What, instead of the news, why not, you know, we read, some people still read the newspaper, or they read articles online or whatever. Why not read a missionary update? You know, where people are getting saved. That might be more encouraging than reading about election results. We're going to have a fun year this year going into all this junk. Think on these things. We ought to keep our mind dwelling on the things of God if we want to keep the peace of God in our hearts. So verse 8 gives us this stuff. It tells us not, you know, essentially tells us also what not to think about, you know, not to dwell on things that aren't pure and lovely and of good report and all of that. And so obeying verse 8 and thinking on these things will certainly help us. I've told you the story before, probably. I think I have, but I talk a lot, so not everybody always listens. I understand that, so I'll tell it again. Sometimes, you know, when we get overwhelmed with things, and of course, you know, I always, you know, you business owners, you know, there's a lot to be thinking about all the time. You got to think about your employees. You got to think about your customers. You got to think about your plans for the future. You got to think about profit and loss and all that stuff. Parents, there's always a lot to think about, because you're thinking about the kids, and you're thinking about raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and keeping yourself straight and right. Spouses, same thing. And then, of course, as a pastor, there's a lot that I'm thinking about for my family, for your families, for the church as a whole. So it's easy to just get overwhelmed with all the things that we feel like we need to be thinking about a lot. And sometimes for me, it really helps me to unplug from all that and take a break from the overwhelming stress of it all to just talk to my kids, because they think about things that aren't what I always necessarily think about. I know that surprises you, because I have the mind of a child. To many people, I get that. But Ellie, last year when she was still three, Michelle told me about this after the fact. She had come to Michelle. She was very upset. She was upset because she swallowed a piece of an ice cube. And Michelle thought maybe it hurt her on the way down. But the reason she was upset, she said, "Mommy, I swallowed an ice cube and Jesus is in there and it's going to kill him." And she just, Judah had been trying to witness to her and talk to her about being saved and Jesus being inside you. And so she thought Jesus was in her physical body and that swallowing that ice cube was going to hurt him. And she was just so upset about it. Michelle had to kind of explain to her, it's not quite how that works. But those kind of things, you know, I hear about stuff like that, or Judah will ask me something just completely off the wall. And it just reminds me, I don't have to always constantly be stressing about things. You know, we can think, there's a lot that needs our attention. You know, there's a lot of responsibilities we do have. But we need to be taking time set aside to think on things that the Lord wants us to think about, not just the things that cause us stress, cause us worry, cause us sorrow, fear, and all these other things. Think about things that encourage us. Think about things that make us praise God. That ought to help us with keeping the peace of God in our life. And so the reason I point all this out, of course, is because even faithful Christians, even those of us that know these things, sometimes we slip into the tendency of forgetting that not all these promises of God are just automatic. And then if we kind of forget that, and then we start looking at our lives and saying, Lord, you know, why am I not at peace? I know I'm saved. You know, why am I not at peace? Are you know, is your promise true? Or people, I've had people come to me doubting their salvation because of the lack of peace in their life. And so it's a problem. But the problem mainly stems from a lack of Bible knowledge and understanding what the Scripture is actually saying. If we will do what God said to do in Philippians 4:6, then we will have the peace that Philippians 4:7 speaks of. Turn with me another place in your Bible, Colossians chapter 3. Should be just a page or two over for you. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15. Colossians 3:15. The Bible says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Again, noticing the wording, let the peace of God rule. That means you're allowing it. That means you have the ability to not allow it, or else he wouldn't have said it. Let the peace of God rule. And it didn't say co-pilot. It said rule. I think that's the problem. I don't think a lot of us wake up one day and say, I don't want God's peace ruling my heart. We just wake up one day and we start doing it ourselves. We start ruling our own hearts. We start ruling our own minds. And we can't both rule at the same time. That's not how it works. If we are the ruler of our hearts and minds, then God isn't. And so I think sometimes we take so much control back from the Lord, and then we wonder where all our peace went. Well, the one who gives peace isn't in control anymore. And so we need to allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. And of course, we can always see what Christ said about the whole situation. Matthew chapter number six, when it comes to being overwhelmed by the things, the cares of this world, when it comes to being stressed about the obligations, responsibilities, and the what-ifs of this life, when it comes to the worry and the sorrow and all that's going on, very easy to get overwhelmed. What did Jesus say? Matthew chapter 6, verse number 31. The Bible says, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I like that last phrase. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough going on today. You don't have to be worrying about tomorrow too. The Lord says he knows what you have need of. And so I think sometimes we just don't live by faith the way that we should. I certainly know that I cannot be trusted to rule my own heart. And if I do that, I won't have peace like I could with God ruling it. Jeremiah 17:9, we know the verse, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I don't want to have charge over that thing. I want God to have charge over that thing. You think about this comparison. Maybe you have a pet, and it's just a horrible pet. Maybe it's a dog or cat, whatever it is. They will not obey. They will not do what you say. They will tear stuff up. And it's like, man, this thing is desperately wicked, and it can't be controlled, and you just don't want nothing to do with it. That's your heart. That's my heart. And so how can we expect the peace of God to rule our hearts if it's desperately wicked and no man can know it? Well, we have to give God the opportunity, the ability to rule it instead of us ruling it. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that it's ever wrong to have a trial and kind of lose peace. It's very difficult to keep the peace of God in your life. And there is a time for everything, including mourning. There's a time for sorrow. Ecclesiastes 3:1-8 gives us this list of a time for this, time for that, and it includes weeping and it includes mourning. And so we don't have to always be, oh, I'm so wonderful, I'm so at peace, I love the Lord, everything's great. There is a time for mourning. There's a time for sadness. There's times in our life where we struggle. The problem is, especially in America, it seems that it's almost like a gold star for people to just live there and stay discouraged and stay depressed and stay, woe is me. That's not what the Lord wants from us. He wants us to have peace in our lives. He wants us to have the joy of the Lord as our strength. We can't have that if we prefer to stay in our sorrow. You say, who would do that? Look around this nation. We have more than anybody else in the world. We are blessed beyond measure. You realize today you live better than kings and queens and emperors up to about 100 years ago. Because you have indoor plumbing, air conditioning, heat. You have a microwave potentially and a fridge. You got a car. Nowadays people got cars that can drive themselves. It's just ridiculous. We've got it all. The people who are living on the streets in this country are afforded more resources and more to them than the people who have homes in some other places in the world. You wouldn't call it a home. You'd call it a shack, maybe. I remember in the Dominican one time, we went up to this mountain and we were handing out food and stuff, and all these houses were, of course, not what we would consider houses. They were shacks, pieces of steel pushed together and wood and thatch roofs or whatever they could make up. And my mom about had a heart attack and died on that trip because she went to go inside this lady's little shack and a bunch of chickens came flying out and about knocked her over. And she was like, what in the world? You know, this lady, she slept on the dirt spot on the floor in her house and the chickens were right there with her. But today in America, where we have so much, the suicide rate is as high as it's ever been. The drug use rate is as high as it's ever been. And if you don't get into those two things, people take a pill to get up in the morning and a pill to go to bed at night because they just can't handle life. And yet, the Bible says if you're saved, you can have the peace of God. Sadly, the things that I mentioned, you know, the doping ourselves to get through the day and suicide and all these different things, they're not exclusive to the world. They're happening in the church too. And it shouldn't be that way. We have the Lord to be our peace. We have the Lord to be our strength. And so instead of worrying, we pray. And instead of complaining, we thank God. Instead of scrambling to fix everything, we go to God for help. And we actually let Him help instead of continuing to control it. Instead of filling our minds with troubles and of this world, we turn our minds to things that are honest and just and pure and lovely. It's a blessing to know that not only did God send His Son to die on the cross to save us from our sins, not only has that bond of sin been broken, or bondage of sin been broken, but He also affords us peace. We don't have to go through this life constantly stressed, constantly overwhelmed, constantly sorrowing, because we have the peace of God available to us. And that's a blessing that you can only have through Christ, that you can only have through God. It's not always easy to have it. It's not always easy to keep it. We have to be obeying Philippians 4:6. We have to be obeying Colossians to allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts, to not be careful of the things of this world, to take everything to God in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I think that thanksgiving part is very important. Most of the times you see prayer in the Bible, you see thanksgiving with it. Most of the prayers in the Word of God are prayers of thanksgiving. And I think that really helps us to consider what we have to be thankful for. And that alone helps us to regain the peace of God in our lives. Of course, if you're saved, you can always just remember, hey, as crazy as this life is, as disappointing sometimes as it can be, as much as can happen that just makes you want to quit, praise God, it's not our final home. We don't have to deal with this forever. The neighbor that gives you problems, the coworker or the boss that gives you trouble every day, the family situation, the church situation, whatever it may be, it's not how it'll always be. Well, praise God for that. Now, I don't want people to just say, well, someday when I die, it'll be better. That's not how we're supposed to live either. We can have the peace of God today. We can have the joy of the Lord today. And I would encourage you to consider that this evening. Because I don't know about you, but I can get overwhelmed. I can certainly get stressed. There's a lot in this world that it throws at us from every angle. And if we are not on our knees in prayer, giving these things to God, if we're not in our Bible getting fed from God, if we're not thanking God for things, if we're not allowing Him to rule our hearts and our minds, then we're going to suffer through this life that God wants us to have victory in. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your peace that you make available to us. Lord, help us to understand that it doesn't just happen. We have to do as you command if we want to experience the peace that you provide. And Lord, it is worth it. It is so worth it. Lord, help us tonight. Lord, I don't know what all struggles people may have here tonight, but I know just from living in this world that there's something that can be on the minds of all of us. And Lord, whether it be sickness of ourselves or of a loved one, whether it be a job situation, Lord, whatever it may be, there's so many prayers on the prayer list that we talk about tonight that can certainly cause us sorrow and grief, Lord. But Lord, help us to, through it all, have peace, Lord, that we might be a witness and a testimony to the world that doesn't know true peace. Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Ken.